Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us on this Thursday, December 21st, 2017. Today on the show, we will talk to Gary Barnett at around 8:05. Talk some college football, preview some bowl games that are coming up later on this week and next week. We'll also talk to Will Carroll, our injury expert, at 9:05. We'll hear some more postgame from Bruce Weber after Kansas State gets a road win last night against Washington State, 68-65. So K-State finishes the non-con 10-2 and gets an important win, especially after they lost to Tulsa in Wichita. Felt like they needed to finish the non-con with strong with a win on the road, and they did that against Washington State. Any true road win is a good win. And so now Kansas State is ready for conference play, and that begins for them on December 29th with another road game at Iowa State. And so K-State again finishes 10-2 in the non-con. Their two losses, 92-90 to Arizona State, and then the 61-54 loss to Tulsa. But they bounced back after beating SEMO at home. They went at Washington State last night, 68-65. You heard some of the comments there from Bruce Weber. And that gives K-State a pair of road wins, a pair of road victories in the non-con at Vandy and at Washington State. We will also hear some comments from Andy Reid as the Chiefs get ready to go out to Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday and try to finish the job, seal the deal, and win the AFC West for the first time in back-to-back years in franchise history. They will take on the Miami Dolphins. We'll hear from Andy Reid and hear his comments about the game, previewing Chiefs and Dolphins on Sunday. And then tonight, you've got Kansas back in action. It's fun because all of the local schools at least have somewhat of a test on the road or away from home. Here, this game against Stanford is in Sacramento tonight. And so you can check out Kansas and Stanford right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You can also watch it on ESPN2, but that is KU's last test in the non-con before they start the conference season on December 29th with a road game against Texas. And so Kansas gets their last test, and then Missouri with their final test of the non-con this Saturday night against Illinois in the Bragging Rights game. So some nice matchups, at least for the local schools, as they prepare to get started with conference play. So tonight, Kansas will take one more stab at a Pac-12 school and see if they can take care of Stanford. Mike DeCourcy seems to think that Kansas should be able to take care of Stanford, but we'll see. It's not a true road game. It is being played in Sacramento, and so maybe that that bodes well for Kansas not playing a true road game, more of a neutral side game. We'll see how many fans of a 6-6 Stanford squad show up in Sacramento to watch that basketball game. So somewhat compelling basketball. We've had good basketball, really, to watch almost every night this week, or at least important basketball, from Tuesday's game between Mizzou and Stephen F. Austin to last night, Kansas State and Washington State. Tonight, Kansas takes on Stanford, take a little breather on Friday, and then Saturday, the Bragging Rights game between Mizzou and Illinois. And then we've got conference play to talk about. It is already here, and we can put the non-con to bed, and maybe all three schools end up with pretty much the same records after the non-con's done. Kansas State, they finished 10-2. Kansas has a chance to finish 10-2 if they win tonight. and Missouri already 10-2. They have a chance to finish 11-2. So a couple of losses to each of the three schools that we talk about. Really curious to see how they fare in the non-con. I think K-State probably is right about where we thought they'd be in the non-con. I think the loss to Tulsa was surprising, but they should have beat Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's not quite as good as they have been. Actually, they're not very good at all. They're 4-7, but still, they won on the road. But looking on the schedule, you would think that that's a toss up anytime you go on the road in the road game at Washington State. So I think when you looked at the schedule, 10-2 is about right. I think if they would have lost last night or ended up with three losses, that would have been disappointing. I think for Missouri, you have to be thrilled if they can get the win on Saturday and they finish 11-2. I think that would be exceeding expectations for Missouri in the non-con. What about Kansas? If Kansas loses tonight, certainly I would think you would consider it a disappointing non-con, less than what you expected. But what if they win tonight and they finish the non-conference schedule with two losses? Less than what you expected, about what you expected? I don't think it exceeds expectations. How would you describe the non-con if they finish with just the two losses?
Yeah, I think slightly below expectations, but only slightly. I think if they lose tonight, it'd be very disappointing because I don't think Stanford's very good right now. I think they're 6-6.
Yep.
So, but I guess, yeah, you're playing against a former Jayhawk and Jared Haas, coach of the team. I think they beat Stanford by 15 last year at home. So that'd be disappointing if you lose that game, even though it is an away game, like you said, in a relatively neutral side out, but it's close to Stanford. If Kansas had lost two games in the non-con, I don't think that would have stunned you because you could say, well, they could have lost that Kentucky game at the beginning of the year, then maybe the game against Syracuse or Arizona State or something like that. You know, that wouldn't have stunned you, but it would have been a little disappointing. I don't think I didn't know that Arizona State was anywhere near this good, you know, right when you looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year. And anytime you lose a game at home, if you're Kansas, that's disappointing. And losing a game to what we don't think is that great of a team in Washington at Sprint Center is disappointing. So there's a couple of disappointing losses there. So I'd call it a slightly slightly disappointing non-conference season, but certainly nothing that they can't overcome as they go into Big 12 play. But I do think it's a team that has some concerns they haven't had in some time going into Big 12 play, depending on whether or not Preston and or D'Souza actually become eligible and can play.
Jake, happy with the non-con? One more game. Satisfied? Concerned? Pleased? Titillated?
I guess...
aroused?
I agree with Nate for the most part. I think it's probably how they got here is... slightly disappointing, I think, is the proper word. But I think a lot of that has to do with Billy Preston and where this team sits and the problems that you didn't think that depth was going to be a problem with this team. And that's clearly the biggest problem that you know, there's really no answers coming off the bench when you thought the least watching this team play, it can really only play one way. And that's with one big. And
I remember we were sitting at Sprint Center next to each other during the exhibition game between Missouri and Kansas, and you said, I'll be shocked if Kansas loses a game this year.
A single game, yeah.
Right.
I feel like you may be a little stunned right now.
I am. Right. I am. I said, you know, this team is gonna run the table,
right,
win the national championship,
right,
and anything less than that is just a bitter disappointment.
Right. You said 76 Indiana starts sweating.
Right. No, but I think that's the concern is how they got here, not the fact that the number of their record. I think Nate nailed it.
By the way, how's your eye? Yesterday, we found out that you were suffering from an ailment in your eye.
I have a virus in my eye.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Be more specific? That's kind of a...
You know what viruses are.
I understand that, but I'd like to know more.
I got one.
Man, that sounds kind of scary.
My wife was very concerned.
Was she?
Well, she... First of all, yes.
Okay.
Because she asked where you were.
I believe it.
Because we had a beautiful holiday dinner last night at Garozzo. She says, "Where's Jake?" I said, "He has something wrong with his eye." And she goes, "No, where's he at, really?"
No, this one right here.
And so here's, let me tell you this. Nobody believed me, first of all.
Well,
everyone thought that that was just an excuse because you did not want to socialize with people.
That including Nate. Usually is the case.
When I saw your text last night, and obviously I wasn't here the last couple of days, so I didn't see it. But when I know it's.
What are you talking about?
I wasn't here the last couple of days, Stephen. I hate to surprise you.
What?
But when I saw your text, I'm looking for it right here. It like I was like, is that a joke? Is that like Jake's like,
yeah,
saying,
when we get there,
I don't want to come to the party.
Is this serious? Or is he serious about the eye? Or is it just, yeah. I go, yeah, there's something wrong with his eye. He was in great discomfort yesterday.
Yeah.
And then Lebo sent the most disgusting picture of an eye disease that I've ever seen.
And so
I thought you guys were just joking around.
No.
Is this just like a, do you know what virus it is and you can't tell us? Or
I don't know what virus it is. I have.
Is it like pink eye?
No. Not pink eye. That's a.
Is that a? That's not a virus.
No, it's not.
Have you been like sticking your finger?
That's an infection.
In different places and then touching your eye.
Bacterial infection.
Yes.
Is that what you've been doing?
No. I don't know how I got it. I think it happened in Denver somehow.
What happened in Denver?
I don't know.
To that. I feel like there's part of the story that you're not giving us, and you think you.
No.
Here's what I think.
I think you have an idea. The fun part of the story.
I think you have an idea of what led to this, and you're not telling me because you don't want me to.
No, I mean,
use it as material.
The only thing
on the show
that happened to my eye that I can recall is about 6 weeks ago. I was playing golf and I hit a bad golf shot and hit mud all up in my face. And
now to see that could there you go. That's
and,
my man.
And you know that, but that was 6 weeks ago. So I don't know.
Maybe
and
it found its way in there.
Well, I kind of cut like the inside of my eyelid with the mud.
Corneal abrasion.
Well, and then that's what you know. I went to see a doctor. I don't know if I can say the doctor's name or not. What do you think?
Well, I think it's more that he can't say your name. I mean,
I'd love it.
You know,
I don't know the HIPAA laws. Is that?
It's your privacy. I mean, it's not his privacy. You got to worry.
Maybe
about.
Maybe he'd like some privacy.
He's a listener of the show, though.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Now, I will say
his,
this: if,
his
you, if
son
you talk
might
about
be a
this
guest
publicly,
on the show,
it, yeah. It might give him the right to tell people if he wants to say something about it. You know?
He just ignored what you said.
Yeah, I know.
He's right, talked right over there.
Yep.
He doesn't care. You'd be so excited to know, and you just ignored what he just said.
Okay, say it again.
No.
Uh-uh.
You missed it.
Steven knows, though.
I do know.
As long as I know,
I know
you
whole,
know.
He sat down here and told me the whole story this morning.
It's a funny story.
I said, Nate's going to be so excited.
Yep. His son is a guest on our show,
How long
Nate?
Do you think it'll take him to figure it out?
Probably a while.
This doctor, his son is a guest on our show.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
Oh. He's an eye doctor.
Look at the... No, he went to a butt doctor.
I went to the orthopedic to have my eye looked at. Dr. Chris Barnhouse, he checked out my eye.
Look at Nate's fingers. Oh, he's an eye doctor.
Now I get it.
No, he went to a podiatrist.
I got a virus
take a look
in my
the eye.
Eye,
please.
Yeah.
I think you should have seen an eye doctor.
Oh, I did. Well, that's kind of... That's pretty
why did
basic.
I suggest it was a butt doctor? That's so weird.
Hey,
look at this eye.
I went and had a colonoscopy, and then they told me I had a virus in my eye.
So did you figure it out?
Were we hanging out with him last night?
I'm not going to say anything. I don't think that's necessary to say on the air.
Dr. Beasler.
Yeah.
Checked out my eye.
Paging Dr. Beasler.
Wow.
Yes. And it's funny. I told Steven the story about...
Well, his son Mike is a great guy.
Right.
His son Mike is a great guy. His son.
So what
Matt,
happened?
Nick's a good guy, too.
So you show up there.
I show up there. And, I, you know, it's kind of last second, and I call. I don't have an eye doctor. So a friend of mine recommended a group. And I was like, Beasler. She's like, yeah, that's Matt's dad.
Okay. And so it's all coming together for you.
Yeah. And so I make an appointment and they're like, well, we're kind of packed. Can you be here by 1:30? I was like, yes.
They heard Jake at Tears and they put you right in.
Right. No, I don't think so. But
Greg Beasler is a big fan of the show, so I think he slid you right in.
He is. He is a big fan of the show. And so such a big fan of the show that when his nurse came out to call me in as a patient, that, Mr. Alex Smith, we're ready for you. Looked right at me. Alex Smith. We're ready for you, and I'm looking around. I'm like, Alex Smith, that's a pretty common name. What? And she's like, you, sir?
That's
I'm
right,
like,
you.
So, yes, that was pretty funny.
So what do you have, some eye drops? What are you taking?
Yeah, I got two different. I got an eye gel and an eye drop.
Oh, eye gel sounds good.
Yeah.
Can I have some of that?
Hopefully, by next week, this will be all cleared up, and the virus will be gone, hopefully, or...
I was concerned.
Yeah, no, I hate missing that meal. That's one of the the finer parts of working here around the holiday season. We have a fantastic meal at Grozzo's, and I'd miss it. But you guys got to hang out with Matt Beasler yesterday, and I got to hang out with Dr. Beasler.
Everyone looks forward to every year when I say, hey, I'm going to go to the bathroom, be right back, and then I never come back. Right out.
Smoke bomb.
Right
out of here.
Right out the back door. It's just goodbyes take too long.
No, you're right. Kelly and I didn't make that move, and literally took us 45 minutes to leave.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Sure.
But we had a couple good conversations on the way out the door.
I doubt that.
Yeah, don't believe
you. Absolutely doubt that.
It was good.
I find that to be impossible. So, yeah, I had to get out. I had to get away from my table.
Bad table.
Yeah. Some guy talked my ear off the table. I said, I had to get out of there.
I was kind of glad. It's
screw
like,
dessert.
Yeah.
I actually feel like relative to my normal performances, I wasn't too bad this time. Like,
huh.
I wasn't
you kicked too, it into gear at one point.
At one point, maybe, but for
you
most
kicked
part,
it into gear because
I felt like Lebo was holding court far more than I was.
You kicked it into gear when, at one point, I thought there was at one point that I thought your wife was going to stab you with a fork.
Really?
Because she started to talk about something, and you interrupt her. You all, sorry, I interrupted you. And then you just kept
just
going,
on and, on.
And then you never, and then
never
you never got, yeah,
again.
You never got back to that thing because like Susan
wife.
Was waiting to hear what Kelly had to say because it was about the kid thing, mm-hmm. And then she was like five words in, and you go, sorry to interrupt you, and then you went, and Kelly was, like, and so then I kind of got the. I wanted to start telling stories, and I got the pinch on the knee underneath the table.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, you know.
I was enjoying your stories
really?
Last
well,
night. Yeah.
No, Lebo was the
Lebo's
star of the
stories,
table.
He was the star of the table.
We had Lebo tell this is the first time I'd heard the totally in-depth story of him beating up the foreign exchange student from Finland back when he was a freshman at Truman High School. And I never knew it was because Lebo was cursing while playing a video game, and the young Finnish student did not appreciate the cursing and told Lebo not to use those type of words around him. And Lebo kind of, well, this is my house, I'll do what I want. And
my started, favorite part was, you cuss and Finnish
right.
around this house all the time.
Right, right. And he cussed again. And so I guess the guy went up with a pillow and just whacked Lebo in the back of the head when he cussed again. And then Lebo got up and started throwing hands with him.
Yeah.
Todd Lebo.
Said he had him in the headlock. Yeah. Was giving him the business.
Give him the old Nolan Ryan, Robin Ventura.
Yeah.
And then the foreign exchange student like got up and threw everything and I hate this house. And Lebo's mom had to come in and break up the fight.
I'm a hard ass. I'm sorry.
He told it in such great detail and I laughed.
Todd Lebo.
And laughed. And
Todd
laughed.
Lebo.
It was so good. It was better than I thought. Because I just heard the story just like in general. I never heard all the details and what led to the fight. And it was better than I would have hoped. And I guess they were throwing hands. I thought it was just like one punch or something. They were throwing hands.
Mm-hmm.
And this, and I guess this man moved out of the house, or the student, this youngster. And he returned to Finland, never to come back to the United States.
He said the next day on the school bus, he waited for him outside the school bus to apologize to him.
Todd did.
He gets off the bus, and he said, whatever the kid's name is, and he said, hey, listen, and the kid looked at him and said, if you say words to me, you're dead.
Did you know it was that in depth?
Oh, I mean, I knew, I'd heard the full fight story. I didn't hear the apologizing story.
And then he moved out of that.
So he's like, well, I guess I'm not apologizing to this guy.
I didn't know it was that bad. I thought it was like they got in a fight over something, and then it was
that's
it was,
funny.
It was okay.
He almost fought me. I had some friends go to Europe, and they brought me back a soccer jersey from Finland, a national team jersey. And Todd saw it. He's like, take that off.
Right.
Take that off.
Right.
He's like, none of that around here.
That's right.
Nothing to do with Finland anywhere near me.
I didn't know. That was the best part of last night.
Yep.
That was fantastic. It was a good night, but we missed you.
We did.
But no one believed that you had an actual ailment.
Well, I was just so happy that I had an eye virus. It's like, yes!
So is it like, is it contagious?
No, it's not. It's not contagious. It's just.
Oh, do you know that, or are you just saying that?
No, I didn't. I know that. You gonna come touch my eye?
I'd like to.
Okay.
I'd like to take a look at it. I want to see what's going on. I'm fascinated by this.
It already feels better.
Oh, it looks better. You had the old red eye yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
I thought you had a bad case of pink eye or something.
No, it wasn't pink eye. And, you know, I wait till the last minute to go to the doctor.
And, right, and that's what I told Nate. I said, if he's even discussing going to the doctor, you know how much pain he's got to be in? Because you're like me. Like, you'll do anything but go to the doctor.
Exactly. And, I gave it almost 2 weeks. And I was like, this thing's not going away.
Right, 2 weeks, exactly right.
And I was like, yeah. And, you know, I leave for... In a week, I go out of town, and I was like, I do not want this bothering me while I'm skiing, and so I was like, here we go.
Wear some ski goggles around.
But, you know, what if it closes up or something weird happens or passes to the other eye in the goggles?
It's life on the road, man. You know what I'm talking about?
It's true.
We've got Jake. You can see out of both eyes. We feel like it's going to be a good show. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Oh boy, Thursday, December 21st. Huh. And very little of my shopping is done. So tomorrow is my last day of the year here. So I'll be off next week. And so I've hatched out a plan for my wife to meet me after work. And we're going to get all the shopping done for the kids. Hopefully in under 3 hours. I can do it in under 3 hours. I could do it in 2 hours. But she is a... Yeah, her to the mix. And
that seems ambitious.
Longer process. So I could do it. I could get it done. The boys are easy now. It's easy to shop for them. The girls have already have their lists. And so, you know what? It's a system. We can get it done. Because I can't hide the presents anymore at home. I can't buy them too early because they'll just find them. And I can't keep them, you know. And it's not the boys are the problem. The girls are the problem. And they'll look everywhere. They don't care. Hey, don't look in the closet. So as soon as I turn my head, they'll look in the closet.
That just means, that's where we're supposed to look. That's just a tip.
They don't listen to me.
Yeah.
And so I'll just have just do it. So I can hide it for a day or two, move it around, you know, different places.
Oh, my brothers used to get so mad because, you know, I would be the one looking and they wouldn't want to know. That ruined the surprise.
Right.
I'd be like, I know what you're getting.
Right.
Don't tell me.
Right.
But my parents would be like, you know, my mom finally got to the point, okay, if you want to ruin your Christmas, go look there. Just go look. And my brother's like, oh, no.
I can't even tell.
Like, yeah, okay.
I can't even tell them, like, what I get Susan, because they'll just go tell her.
Right.
Guess what Dad's hiding from you?
And
I'm like, what's this going to be about? I know what he got you for Christmas. I was like, okay, thank you. Thank goodness. Anyway, hopefully everyone else has got the Christmas shopping done.
Haven't even started.
Yeah.
Not one present.
Yeah.
Not even one.
You know, it's empowering. You get out there and just do it all in one day.
I got to do one today because I have to have one sent out to California.
What's that mean?
Don't worry about that.
Pack it in coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you like to talk about Alex Smith? I heard you guys may have mentioned Alex Smith a time or two when I was gone on Monday.
Speaking of people interrupting one another.
Right.
Jake and I had a battle of who could interrupt each other the most during that show.
And the listener lost.
Heard all about it. And then, while you were gone, the NFL chose Phillip Rivers over Alex Smith.
Makes perfect sense.
Why does it make perfect sense?
Well, because his stats are not as good as Alex Smith's. Alex Smith has a better record and beat him twice head-to-head.
Hey. Well, apparently all that matters in football is numbers, apparently.
Hey.
That's all that matters.
I said yesterday that it should have been Alex Smith. So don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you, I was shocked when the Pro Bowl selections came out. Jake thinks it was the correct choice.
Yeah.
But...
You got also most of that voting probably came when Alex Smith's numbers weren't as good as Phillip Rivers. I mean, he had a stretch there where he had some duds.
Were you surprised when that happened, when that was released?
Yeah, I was. But Jake makes a decent point. Maybe a lot of those votes came in before that game happened.
I bet most of them did.
It's kind of silly. There's like the most important games of the season to be played. And
it's also reputation based as well.
Sure. Sure. And for his career, Phillip Rivers has had the better numbers. And
do you think it has anything to do with your support of him?
I don't. Well, that would be interesting.
You kept him off the Pro Bowl?
I like this Alex Smith guy, but I just hear too much about him from Nate Buchady, so I'm going to vote for Phillip Rivers, despite the fact that he's thrown more interceptions against the Chiefs than Smith has thrown all year.
Right.
You know? Crushing his team's chances at winning the division. I mean, literally, like, single-handedly crushing his team's chances of winning the division. Right? In those two games.
Right, 6 picks, right?
Yep. And all of them pretty horrible. I mean, one of them, they had to go for it on fourth down, so he had to kind of just throw up a prayer. But for the most part, those picks against the Chiefs, just terrible, terrible passes.
You know, they still might make the playoffs, I think.
Is that right? I haven't.
Maybe. We hatched it out yesterday that we think it's going to be Baltimore at the Chiefs, which makes me very nervous for some reason.
Yep.
Flashbacks, and I know both teams are different, but still it's flashbacks to 2010. Hey, I'm a Chiefs fan. The playoffs give me flashbacks to a lot of bad things. Okay? Give me a break. But, like with Tennessee, they're home for both games, right? But do you think Tennessee will beat the Rams or the Jags? It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it is.
But you could see them losing both those games, right?
Sure.
I mean, the Rams looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. And they're playing for something. And then the Jags, because they're only a game behind Pittsburgh, they're going to be playing for something. Mm-hmm. Because if they tie Pittsburgh somehow, they have the tiebreaker because they went at Pittsburgh. And so the Jags will probably still be playing for a chance to get a bye. And so Tennessee, they're going to have to play a game that they haven't played this year, a really, really good game against a top-flight opponent. And so you could see them losing out and being 8-8. And so Buffalo. Who does Buffalo have?
At New England, yeah, at Miami.
So that's possible for them to lose out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's possible for San Diego to win out.
Yeah, at the Jets, at home against the Raiders. Yeah. Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
Look at I'm
and
not.
Then look at Baltimore's record, or look at Baltimore's last two games. How perfect that sets up for them, compared to Buffalo and compared to Tennessee.
Colts and Bengals,
both in Baltimore.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they're winning out.
So I mean, it's dangerous to do that, especially this NFL season, because there's been so many unpredictable results and things that have kind of gone crazy, and players get hurt and this, that, and everything else. But there's a real scenario there that the two wild card teams are going to be Baltimore and the Chargers.
Wow. That's interesting,
right?
Look, I'm still not going to take for granted that the Chiefs are going to win this division. I mean, they
got to go beat Miami.
Yeah,
you
don't want to go to Denver having to win.
Nope. And you've seen Miami's A game is good enough to beat New England.
Yep.
So
yeah,
and that's why it's so unpredictable. Yeah, I don't, but it just if things go the way they're supposed to go, it'll be Baltimore at Kansas City in the first round of the playoffs, which is a very intriguing matchup.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Yeah.
We will take a break. When we come back, we'll hear some comments from Andy Reid about Alex Smith, and also comments from Alex Smith as he was on Between the Lines yesterday with Kevin Keatsman on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, Jake, what do you have as far as some Alex Smith stuff? We have Andy Reid, right? Is he talking about the snub?
Yes, he was asked. Andy Reid was asked if he thought Alex Smith was snubbed for the Pro Bowl.
Alex made it as a first alternate. Listen, I'm a big fan of his, so I would tell you, I thought he should have been in, but that's here nor there. He's not. That doesn't matter what I say. So, but he sure has had a great year.
So he'll probably end up going to the Pro Bowl, right? Because don't the guys that go to the Super Bowl not go to the Pro Bowl? So probably Brady or Roethlisberger.
Correct.
Would go to the Super Bowl. So then
already counting the Chiefs out.
Yep.
defeatist attitude.
Sorry. I hope I'm wrong. Hopefully he doesn't go to the Pro Bowl because the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl.
Nope, he's going. He's probably going.
Probably.
Yeah.
Now let's hear Alex Smith talking about being snubbed by the Pro Bowl. This is on Between the Lines yesterday here on WHB.
Somehow, some way, Philip Rivers is going to the Pro Bowl. Now, that's me, not you. Alex, I'm going to ask you the different question. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you
Merry
doing?
Christmas to you. Yeah.
Likewise.
How did Liz take the news?
Oh, harder. Harder, for sure. For sure.
Because I know what you're going to say. I want specifically to know.
Without a doubt. I won't even try to
hide. How did you keep her off Twitter, or did you? Did you keep her off?
No, she wanted to. I think she partially joking, but she would have loved to tweet something out for sure. Yes.
I mean, did she scream? Was she mad? Were there profanities?
There was profanity, definitely.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. And then it would go away. We'd be hanging out, and then 30 minutes later, just more profanity, just randomly coming out.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, luckily I'm not on social media or anything and don't have to deal with that. But yeah, for sure. She was irked a little bit.
Well, the hope is you don't go at all, because if you're playing
that's
in the Super Bowl, you
that's
won't be
exactly
going.
Right.
And that's exactly what you want to see. But I guess I would ask you on this part, because your numbers are fantastic this year, and there's much more to it than that. You've got a chance this Sunday to win back-to-back division titles here. That has never happened in Chiefs history, which is shocking to me. I had no idea that was the case. So you're knocking down a bunch of walls and things here. This is a weird question. When you only throw 5 interceptions, does it in a way hurt you on things like this? Do people think, oh, that's just such a simple offense? He's just dinking and dunking and checking
maybe
down Charlie and all
maybe
this stuff.
Yeah.
Does that hurt you when people go talking about this stuff?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what they think. You know, it's such a interest, the voting, you know, coaches, players, and then fans. So it's hard to know. It's hard to even know what your peers necessarily think about you. You know, the voting's all private. I have no idea what those guys think sometimes
right,
and how they view me or our offense. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's like I said, I mean, you know, bummed in a way, honestly, you know, you're looking at it, but obviously it's pretty good company to be in.
Can we just go ahead and check down Charlie? That was awesome.
I mean, I think he was saying that that's what some people say about him.
But that was awesome that he said check down Charlie to Alex Smith, because I have called him that so many times in my life. As many other people have.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it Saturday night of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Before the that terrible drive before the half. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
When they threw 3 short passes and just let the clock go and settled for a long field goal. There was one guy, he was so mad. And I mean, this guy here, a couple rows ahead of us, clearly had taken advantage of the Saturday night game by arriving early on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And knowing there would be no work on Sunday. And he was in it. He gives you a, oh, check down Charlie's back.
He's just dinking and dunking and checking down Charlie and all
this. Scared to death. He's scared to death to throw the ball downfield. And I'm just laughing. And I look up. I look over, and Lizak's 4 or 5 rows behind him. Lizak, and looks at me, and Lizak, because I mean that was at that point the game was in doubt, and that was a bad drive. But it seemed like it was more Andy Reid. Yeah. Now it was just a bad drive to end the half, but people just because at that point you didn't know if you were going to win or lose or not, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let's just waste this opportunity to try to score points. I was mad, but what are you going to do?
So Adam Teicher wrote a column about this, and he said, whatever your preferred criteria for selecting the 3 AFC quarterbacks for this season's Pro Bowl, it's impossible to justify how the Kansas City Chiefs' Alex Smith was left out. In the last article, the last line of the article, either way, Smith is in the top 3. That is beyond debate. Apparently he wasn't listening to us on Monday.
Right. Yeah, and it happened.
We found a way to scream at each other about it. Adam, I beg to differ.
Right,
right. I mean, but it's up for debate because it happened.
Right. That's why it's absolutely up for debate.
Right. You know,
I mean, that's the
debate. If Alex Smith was selected, then it would be beyond
debate.
No debate. No,
Right.
Nothing to debate.
I think that on the flip side, had Alex Smith been selected, I don't think hardly anybody would have said, well, how could they have picked him over Phillip Rivers?
There would have been no debate.
Yeah.
Now there's a debate because he was picked.
Yeah.
So
that was the part about the game that kind of just made me chuckle a little bit, though, was that people were so mad that Alex Smith didn't take more chances and throw the ball down the field more, while they watched Phillip Rivers do that exact thing and kill his team in the process. And so Chiefs fans walked away with their team winning by a bunch, saying, I wish our quarterback was like the one who just lost twice to us because he takes too many chances with the football.
Yeah, some people will not change their minds about that. Ever. So, but by the way, there's a good column from Vahe Gregorian about Alex Smith today and how people should take this opportunity to take a step back and appreciate him, because there is a chance this could be his last regular season home game.
Yeah.
There's going to be a playoff game, but things could fall apart, like you said, and they could lose to Miami and all hell could break loose. But there is a chance that this is his last regular season home game. And so read that and see what Vahe Gregorian has to say. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Here is some more interesting news concerning free agency in baseball and the musical chairs at first base. The Cleveland Indians have reached agreement on a contract with free agent first baseman Yonder Alonso. 2 years at $16 million, which I think is a great deal for Cleveland, with an $8 million vesting option for a third year. The 30-year-old is coming off a career-best season. He hit 28 home runs with a .501 slugging percentage for Oakland and Seattle, made his first All-Star team. He takes over at first base in Cleveland for Carlos Santana, who signed with the Phillies, 3 years, $60 million. Before signing Alonso, the Indians were rumored to be interested in Lucas Duda, Logan Morrison, Matt Adams. Matt Adams has been linked with the Royals several times in trade talks in the past. And then there were several reports that the Royals were interested in Matt Adams as a possible replacement if they were unable to re-sign Eric Hosmer. And now Matt Adams is off the deal. 1 year, $4 million with the Washington Nationals. And I'll be honest with you, as much as I like Eric Hosmer, 1 year, $4 million for Adams, that looks real good. Alonso, 2 years, $16 million. That looks real good. I don't think that bodes well for Hosmer, for the kind of contract that he's trying to get. But that's, if you're holding that hope that Hosmer ends up back in Kansas City, I think that's some more good news, right? I mean, these are not big deals, and these guys are very productive last year, signing for, I think, really club-friendly deals right now.
Yeah, you're right. And I know Sam Mellinger, wrote in the Star, what was it, yesterday or the day before, that it seems like with this musical chairs music that keeps stopping, it's down to the Padres and the Royals. And are the Padres going to want to spend a ton of money, move a guy who's playing pretty well at first base for them back to a spot that he's not very good, and give up a second-round pick? Where, I mean, that's a lot to give up, you know? So it's starting to look more and more like the Royals do have a legit shot to sign him. And like you said, I mean, gosh, I was a little surprised. I would have assumed that Alonso would have gotten a little bit more in 2 years and $16 million. I know there's a third-year option there, but 30 years old, hit 28 home runs last year.
Like Keith Law describes him as, Alonso's a platoon player with no history of hitting lefties. Also, any signing Keith Law, I feel like, hates. Anyone that is signed, he does not like, and it's too much money, or anytime anyone trades for someone, they're not good. So I
well, like he views them with a critical scout's eye, right?
I feel like, you know, his editor, hey, Keith, take a crap on this deal. Will do. This player is overrated. Too much money. Enter. Send.
So what do you think? You think they're going to be able to sign him now?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It's up there. It's up in the air. I don't think Jake's excited. Why's excited? I don't think Jake is. Are you excited?
I'd be happy with that.
Would you?
Sure. I don't think that's going to help them win in the next 3 years.
I don't think anything's going to help them win in the next 3 years.
That's the point. Right. Yeah, so I don't know if is that wasted money at this point in time?
I don't care. It's not my money. Give me Eric Hosmer.
Maybe he helps usher the next wave of young players into the next wave of winning.
Maybe.
For sure.
And then gets traded at the trade deadline.
Jose Altuve was stuck with the Astros through their whole rebuild, right?
Yeah, he was.
So I guess maybe...
Was he a little bit... I don't know the ages.
I don't know how old Altuve was and is.
I'm never going to complain about that, though, if they bring Haas back. What do you mean?
Haas.
Let me tell you. Back after this on WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. The show continues right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.